Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. Hope your week is going well. And if you're not familiar with my show, I focus a lot of times on resilience and strength and mental well-being and all kinds of things in between. I've been doing the show since 2011, which is hard to believe, but I don't want to keep my next guest waiting. I'd like to welcome Paula Saunders, author of the deeply moving new novel, Starting From Here, and she's joining us now. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Janine. How are you?
Great. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
My pleasure. As we both chatted about, we both went to Syracuse, which I loved the school, and it's nice to talk to another alum.
Yes. Syracuse was a wonderful place. We had wonderful teachers there, for sure.
Were you always a writer, or did you gravitate to creative writing, you know, later on?
No, I wasn't always a writer. I really wanted to be a ballet dancer. I mean, like in the book,
Yes. The
young girl wants to be a ballerina, and that was really my goal, too, and I worked very hard towards it. You know, ended up dancing in New York for a couple of years, but at a certain point, my mind kind of changed, and I really wanted to get kind of out in the world, and so once I started to pursue education and go to college, I realized I love literature.
Mm,
I mean, it was just like a revelation to me. I remember being in a freshman literature class only because it was required and reading Mark Twain and just lighting up, just being like, oh my God,
that's
I love it. Yeah.
That spark.
So that was kind of my initiation.
Yeah, that's a spark you had. That's great.
Yes. Yeah, exactly that.
That's fantastic. So,
an unexpected spark. So that was a real surprise.
Those are the best kind, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. They're gifts.
They are. And I feel that you need to pay attention to those sparks or those unexpected conversations with people.
Yeah, exactly. I do too. They're very important.
I want to share something with you and then we'll dive into your book and I'll make it brief. But I was at a Syracuse alumni luncheon in Boston years ago. I did not sign up to go. My father did. And he said, oh, by the way, I signed you up to attend this luncheon. And he knew I wasn't happy with the work I was doing. I was in training and development. And I went to the luncheon. I was very socially awkward, shy. And sitting across from me was this older woman who was an actress. And she started telling me what she had done in film. And she said, what do you do? And she looked at me. She says, you are not happy. And I said, no, I'm not. I don't think I want to stay in this field. And she said, what are some things you enjoy? And we got to chatting. And she was also a voice actress. And I said, you know, it's always intrigued me. And she said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call my teacher today. And here's my number. And you're to tell me, you're going to call me after and tell me you called her.
Oh my gosh.
So I did.
Oh my gosh.
So I did. And I studied with her teacher for 8 years. And that's the kind of thing, like pay attention to those gifts.
Yes, exactly. There are people who show up in our lives who are just, you know, messengers for us in a certain way. They reflect back kind of what we deeply, most deeply want to do. And I have to say Toni Morrison was that for me. She has been kind of through my life as we were connected, someone who really was strong with me and directed me in places where I would have fallen off. So,
tell me about that experience.
You know, that experience is kind of hard to describe. I got, after graduate school, I got a postgraduate Schweitzer fellowship at SUNY Albany, and Toni Morrison was the Schweitzer chair. So she chose three people from everyone who had applied to work with her for 2 years.
Okay.
So I was one of those people.
What an experience.
So I know. I was really so fortunate. And, you know, the most fortunate thing about working with her is not her name or her reputation. It's her gravitas, her presence is so powerful and inspiring. And through her kind of really authentic presence, she's able to speak to you for your work, about your work. So what I felt from her was whatever she told me was she was telling me the truth. She was giving me her honesty.
Yes.
And that was like so important to me. I really, really appreciated that because people can be really nice about your work. But, you know, the people who come forward and say, here it is.
Yes.
This is it. And they say nice things and they say hard things.
Yeah.
And it's a big, yeah. So that was, most of
it. You're not going to grow as a writer if everyone's nice.
Yes, exactly right. You know? Exactly right. Yeah, you need instruction.
So tell me about your protagonist in the book, Renee.
Renee is fairly autobiographical, so she kind of follows my path in life, leaving home at 15 to study ballet. She actually kind of has three goals, I think, in leaving home. One is to get away from the turmoil of her family. She kind of uses her talent to do that. She's got a strong talent in ballet. And her mother encourages her, so she goes away from home at 15 because she does come from South Dakota. She comes from a cattle trading family, mm-hmm. so that's generations of people trading cattle.
Sure.
And suddenly she wants to be a ballerina. So, you know, mm-hmm. these people are doing the best they can, but they really don't know which direction to go. She goes away from home to study and then kind of moves around to different teachers to try to increase her skill. But the other thing she has to do while she's away from home is grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, she's 15 years old.
15.
So 15, 16, 17, 18. This book follows that trajectory, really, so that we kind of see her going through adolescence on her own without her family,
mm-hmm.
without the support of her family. And that's a very treacherous time. I think I'm hoping that what her journey does is kind of highlight the different dangers and twists and turns of the adolescence that all young women go through.
Yes.
You know, we're all subject to different pressures as we go through adolescence. And the probably the most obvious is the kind of sexual pressure, the pressure to conform with our group, all of these different kinds of pressures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that her aloneness in this sets that kind of into relief.
Did you find yourself integrating your own experience at that age into the story?
Yes, definitely. That was really one of the main points for me of doing the writing, for my writing work, not necessarily for a reader, though I hope it comes across to a reader, but really for me, the integration was really part of it. There's, I'll just tell you, there's a woman named Patricia James, who's a medicine woman and a priest in the Cheyenne tradition. And she has told a story about an elder saying to her, if you can't bring back the experience, the experiences you've had, and integrate them into your life, here's what she said, mm-hmm. you're being a dilettante. And mm-hmm. I thought that was so powerful.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of work I am trying to do, is bring back these experiences I've had and integrate them so that I have more understanding as a grown-up person.
I love
that. That's really important to me.
Yeah. Plus, don't you find yourself as a writer, these experiences really meant something to you? Maybe they changed your way of thinking or your choices. And I feel that when you do reflect on your own childhood experiences, these can be great lessons for future readers.
Yes, I think so too. I really do. And I think that, you know, sometimes there's a missing piece, like you can go through the experiences, but if you don't have the reflection, you're kind of missing the meat or the juice. You're missing some kind of major part of what you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that reflection that's a very important point, a very important part of going back and looking at those experiences.
Definitely. One of the reasons I touch on that, too, is Gen Z is going through a mental health crisis. A lot of generations are, but especially Gen Z. A lot of this is tied to social media, being tethered to phones, lacking connection, meaningful face-to-face connection. I mean, they live through a pandemic, and many have come out feeling socially anxious. So there's a desire for meaningful connection. It's very difficult to find your way in the world if you're struggling socially.
It's very difficult. And we see that in this protagonist too, in Renee.
Mm-hmm.
She's struggling socially because she's moving so much. She never has a group. So you see that struggle. And then
exactly.
when it boils down to kind of the external pressures, I call them pressures, but you could call them dangers or pitfalls or cliffs or whatever that adolescent young women come to, you don't really have any breadth of knowledge or wisdom or community even to lean on and say, hey, which way should I go here? Mm-hmm. What's required of me in this situation? And that's a real, that's really like a heartbreaking situation to be in.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. I really feel for this next generation. And the other thing is, I mean, at least back in the 70s, we were, you know, looking forward to, you know, having Roe v. Wade. We had all of these things in place that were supposed to be protections for women.
Sure.
Where we had control of our bodies. We could say yes or no to a pregnancy if we got pregnant when we were 17 or whatever. So, or whenever it was, we couldn't support a child.
Mm-hmm.
So now I look at these young women, and I have two daughters, and I kind of look at their situation, and I think, you know, if you live in the wrong place,
that's
or,
right.
you know, you could be subject to
yes.
a death sentence
yeah.
if you happen to have a miscarriage because no one will care for you.
Yeah.
That has happened. So, you know, this is a whole different scenario. We've gone back to like the 1800s here.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. And because I'm glad you brought all this up, because I was thinking, well, the book is set in the early 70s. However, the themes can resonate, even though there's no cell phones in your story, they can resonate with people now.
Yes, I think so. I do think so, and I hope so, because I don't think young women are going through very different experiences than this young woman experiences in this book.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pressures are the same. I really do. I saw my daughters in their dating experiences, and I was really shocked by how much, with all of the, you know, all of the talk and all of the push and all of the work of the women's movement, what I saw was that really there wasn't any change. It was kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it was disappointing, and and I'm hoping this book will kind of reach people to kind of say, yes, this is our experience, and readers will relate to it.
I think it's great. Tell me about the, you know, you got great accolades on this book. Tell me what you're hearing people say about the book.
Oh, I got the sweetest, well, this is just, you know, just from my friends and stuff. Not really fair. But I did hear the sweetest, I got the sweetest text this morning from my sister-in-law,
oh.
who was just like so taken with the book. And she basically said something so nice. It really touched me. She
yeah.
said that she didn't feel like she had the strength to tell the truth of her own story in this way, but she wished she did. You know, so I think I'm hoping that it makes that kind of connection with people so that they feel their own truth in it.
Yes.
And that was really probably the best review I've gotten so far.
I would say so. I have chills, actually, because, you know, it's wonderful. You have Miranda July and what New York Times Book Review and Publishers Weekly, et cetera, book list. But when someone close to you, it's so different that mm-hmm. they know you and they share something with you that you wouldn't think they would share. It really touches you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's really touching and it's really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really grateful for that. And yeah, I hope other people have the same experience.
So if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Paula Saunders about her latest book. I wanted to ask you, are you teaching workshops? Because I could see you teaching Gen Z. Maybe you're already doing this.
I'm not. I don't teach. No.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure why I don't teach. I haven't really started like or even thought of like reaching out like that. I used mm-hmm. to teach when the girls were little.
Okay.
And at one point I kind of felt like really if I was going to write and I was going to be a mom and a wife and all this stuff, I really needed to kind of draw myself in a little
of
bit
course.
And focus on what I wanted.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what I did.
Yes.
So I haven't been teaching, and at this point in my life, I probably won't go back to it, though sometimes it does occur to me. I kind of think it would be fun to be in a classroom. I used to really enjoy it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't do it right now, but I certainly could see doing it.
You never know.
I
remember in the pandemic being a guest speaker for Syracuse University's alumni events, and I mean, no pressure. I could see you doing something with the creative writing, like a guest speaker remotely, just to kind of get a taste of it in a sense, because a lot of students that I've met they want to open up, and to me, writing was so essential for me growing up because I had such a tumultuous upbringing. And to be 15 and I found a creative writing teacher that was so safe for me, and she says there's no wrong answers. And I thought, oh, really? Good, because I've got D's and F's in a couple of my glasses.
That's really nice to find somebody like that. It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say that for me and my writing process, writing is rewriting for me. I rewrite endlessly, and that's how I kind of find my voice. I can't sit down and just write what I want. I write, and then I write, and I write. I write for years, and I just try to hone things and try to feel things more deeply and try to see where things are not coming up. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, for me, writing is a little bit like painting, like visual arts, because I kind of try to do the visual part of it, and then there's the tone, and then there's the structure, and then, you know, it's just like all different layers of things that I'm working on as I'm rewriting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really a beautiful, beautiful practice.
That's wonderful. But while you're also doing this, do you envision it almost like a screenplay? Do you envision your characters, you know, bringing your scenes to life, kind of thing?
I think, yeah, I envision my characters, I hope, bringing the scenes to life, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the dialogue for me is really important. I hear dialogue pretty much clearly as if someone's speaking, you know, so that's a really nice part of it. But I don't see the structure of writing a novel like a screenplay.
Oh, no,
and
no.
I don't think I would dare to even begin to think of writing a screenplay because I don't know how those things work. I don't.
I say that because it did feel like it could be even a short script.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole backstory. No pressure on that either.
Well, that would be really wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
But I could see that too. And my first book, I think I had more of that feeling. Like in The Distant Home, there was like the feeling of the whole family and such a large story that I could really see it visually like that. And this one too, though the point of view is very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a story for sure.
That's fantastic. Are you already working on your next thing?
I'm not working on it right now, but
okay.
I do have a bunch of pages that I need to be working on, and I think I'm kind of trying to be like calm and realistic maybe about myself. And I'm afraid, I'm not afraid, but if I dive into something right away, that kind of doesn't give me the best advantage. I think what I'm trying to do is kind of take care of this book right now and move forward into that.
Yes.
And then there'll be some time, some space there, and then I'll be ready to come back to the material of what I'm hoping will be a third book. But that takes time, and it takes some space, and I have to allow myself that.
Yeah. It's true. And when you take that time, I feel like your work is so much better.
Yeah. Well, for me, for sure. That's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm rushing into something, then I don't even, sometimes I, you know, I'm sure you've had this experience too. Sometimes you don't even know what you're putting down.
No.
Wait, where am I going here?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I like to have time, and I like to kind of have a feeling of, you know, managing it in a nice way.
That's fantastic. I want to touch on your writing process. It's like, for instance, is there a specific time of day, and how do you get into that lane, that flow state?
When I'm writing, which is, you know, when I start working on this next book now, I get up in the morning and I have breakfast, and then I come to my office and then I write. And so I'll be writing probably from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon or something like that. Then I'll stop and have some lunch.
Wow.
And then I'm generally at a stopping point. So I'll have some lunch, maybe take a walk, something like that. Then I come back. And sometimes then I'll have another hour or two that I can put towards it. But not every time. But but most of the times I'll do an hour or so in the afternoon and kind of see what's happening, check in with myself and make some changes if I need to. And that's kind of my process when I'm working.
That's great. Now, your husband, he's also an accomplished writer as well, George.
Mm-hmm.
Does he read a lot of your stuff? I don't know if you mind me asking. Does he, you share drafts or no?
Okay, so we don't exactly share drafts.
Okay.
But when I'm at something that I feel is finished, a finished product, mm-hmm. then I will definitely. He'll be the first one to read it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's really wonderful. I mean, you know, I feel so fortunate because I've talked to younger writers mm-hmm. who say, like, you know, oh, I don't have anyone at home who reads for me or, you know, helps me with this or helps me with that. And I just, and they're like, I'm so lonely. It's such a lonely life.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it's not because I, you know, we are two writers in the house. Mm-hmm. Our two daughters are both writers. Oh. So we have a family of writers. Whenever we get together, we're talking about writing and we're talking about what's going on. And we're talking about work. That's really what we talk about because we all just kind of love it. And so even when I was in college, when I first came upon the idea of a writing workshop, I just fell in love with it. I was a, you know, we'd have a box of manuscripts and everybody had to go in once a week and review everybody else's stories. I'd be the first one in there and I'd be like, writing them up. And I just adored it. I adored the process. I loved the whole thing. And so we're all family
kind of like that.
So it's really, really nice.
And look at your daughters. That's fantastic. I love that.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, yeah. It really is. Yeah. Are you doing a book tour right now or... Where can people find out more?
Okay. I'm going to Santa Cruz. I'll be in Santa Cruz tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I don't have the schedule in front of me right now, but I'm going to be in Santa Cruz tomorrow. And then early October, I go down south. So I'm going to do Oxford Square Books in Oxford, and then to Jackson, Mississippi, and another place in Mississippi, and then on to New Orleans. And I'm going to New York and up to Syracuse. I'm going to do the Raymond Carver Reading Series in Syracuse, which I'm real excited about. And then I go to Vancouver, and then I'm pretty much finished.
That's very exciting. Could you throw your website out for listeners?
Sure. It's just paulasaundersbooks.com.
I want to thank you so much for calling into the show. I've loved this.
Thank you, Janine. I've loved it, too. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Fun. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with Paula Saunders about her latest book, Starting From Here, which is out now. You can find out more information on my show page, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Up next, SoCal New Waver with Past Forward. If you missed any part of my conversations with my show guest, we kicked it off with Sam Hayes, followed by Paula Saunders. It will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. You have been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Have a great one. I'll be back next Wednesday.